This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa alihi salihin wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Last week we finished the station of Ikhlas, and we also talked about Al-Mutaba'ah. Al-Ikhlas and Mutaba'ah. So why did the author talk about, at the very beginning, Al-Ikhlas and Mutaba'ah? What was the reason? What's the reason that the author talked about Ikhlas and Mutaba'ah?
Ikhlas and Mutaba'ah?
Ikhlas and Mutaba'ah. He talked about both. Yes. Right, because the only way that a deed is accepted is through ikhlas and mutaba'ah. And all of the stations that we're covering are actually deeds. Right? Even though a lot of times we don't consider them to be deeds, because the stations are actions of the heart. And so they're not seen in themselves. Obviously, there's going to be manifestations of those stations. So if a person truly has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person truly loves Allah, if a person truly fears Allah, those things are going to be seen on the limbs. But you don't see the heart. So a lot of times people don't consider them to be deeds. But a person has to fear Allah to the extent of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He has to be mukhlis in that. Otherwise, fear without ikhlas doesn't count. I'll give you an example of that, and then we'll move on, inshallah. Type, a person who stops committing zina, right? Because they're scared to get caught. Like, so they stopped. They're not doing anything haram anymore. Them stopping now, is that rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that tawbah? It's not tawbah, right? Now, they're not going to keep incurring the sin as if they were committing it. But there's no reward in that, because that fear is not even of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If a person fears Allah azza wa jalla and something else with Allah azza wa jalla, are they rewarded for that fear? So there has to be ikhlas in all of that if a person wants to be rewarded. And if the fear is so intense that it leads to them despairing from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they've gone beyond the bounds of the sunnah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then that fear is also not praiseworthy and not rewarded by Allah azza wa jalla. So every station that we're going to cover goes back to sincerity and following and complying with the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Like today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to cover the three pillars of the a'mal al-qalbiyya, or the actions of the heart, and that is fear, hope, and love. So we're going to cover, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, these two lines of poetry, وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ بَنَوْا مَنَازِلَ سَيْرِهِمْ بَيْنَ الرَّجَاءِ وَالْخَوْفِ لِلْدَيَّانِ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَى الْإِلَهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ بِوِدَادِهِ وَمَحَبَّةِ الرَّحْمَنِ. We talked last week about that word. مَلَأَ is actually the verb, but for poetic license, the Hamza is removed, so it's وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَى الْإِلَهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. طيب. So, inshallah ta'ala, we'll start first with the stations of fear and hope. These are two different stations, even though the way that it's written in the book, it says the station of fear and hope. And of course, these titles have been added by the translator. These are not the titles of the author himself. Perhaps they were added by the Arabic version of the one that the translator used to translate. So fear and hope are obviously two very different things and two different stations. طيب فضل.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. A station of fear and hope. Meaning that in their journey, they attach themselves to reverential fear, khawf, and hope, raja. in all of their affairs, clinging to them. They do this by inspecting their own faults regarding the fulfillment of Allah's rights, which induces them in fear.
So there, and we'll cover this again, but I want you to note where these things are coming from. So here, the author is telling us, how do we get to that station of fear, right? So someone asks right now, how do you get to the station of fear? How would you answer that based on the what the author said?
Inspecting their own faults.
Right, by inspecting your faults as it relates to what? Fulfilling Allah Azza wa Jal's rights. Like, being dutiful to your mother, is that Allah's right? It's recommended? Oh, because Allah commanded it. Okay. So here he says, Isa na'am. وذلك أن لهم نظرا أي نظر إلى أنفسهم تقصيرهم في حقوق الله في حقوق الله. So here, even though the author says في حقوق الله, and he's talking about Allah Azza wa Jalla's rights, and there is a, we do distinguish, by the way, between the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of His creation, because the default as it relates to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is Ghafoor, Rahim. Right? And so even though you are going to have some shortcomings as it relates to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that there is the hope for Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness and His mercy. When it comes to the rights of the creation, the opposite is the case. Right? Most people are not overlooking their rights. And if it's their right, meaning that it is, as we might say, their God-given right, that is, Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them that right, then you have to fulfill their rights. So in that sense, it's their rights. Meaning what? I'll give you an example. Somebody unjustly has taken someone else's money. Okay? Let's just say they swindled them out of the money somehow. All right? And now they've realized how evil their action was, and they want to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Is it enough for them to just say, Ya Rabbi, ighfirli, I feel horrible about what I've done, and nadam, right? They're not going to ever do it again. Is that enough?
No.
Why not? Because they have to return the money. Because they infringed on another person's rights. And so therefore, in order to actually be considered to have left off the sin, they actually have to return the rights to the person that they took it from. Whereas, في حق الله سبحانه وتعالى, when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal's rights, a person, in general, there's nothing to return. Right? You're going to stop doing whatever sin it is, or you're going to start doing whatever it is that you were supposed to have been doing, that you abandoned from the wajibat, right? But in general, there's not a way to pay back. So you're remorseful over what happened, you stop committing the sin, and you have that firm determination not to go back to it. So there's a difference between the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of His creation. Here, what induces fear in a person should be both. That is, their shortcomings in fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and the rights of His creation. Nah.
Which induces fear in them, and by reflecting upon Allah's bounties and kindness upon them, which instills hope in them.
Tayyip. So how does one gain the station of hope? It's right there. Huh? Right, by reflecting upon Allah's bounties and kindness upon them. Thank you.
They reflect over Allah's attributes of greatness, magnificence, wisdom, and justice, which induces fear in them.
So again, now he's telling us another way to reach that station, which is to reflect over Allah's or Jal's attributes of greatness, magnificence, wisdom, and justice. These are often called Asma'ul Jalal. Okay, Asma al-Jalal, or the names of majesty, and each name of Allah Azza wa Jal has at least one attribute that comes from it. Yes.
And then reflect upon the divine attributes of mercy, munificence, generosity, and kindness, having hope in what they necessitate.
Yeah, so these are usually called Asma'ul Jamal, right? Allah Azza wa Jal's beautiful names. Yeah.
So when they do an act of goodness, they combine between having fear and hope, hoping for its acceptance and fearing that it will be rejected. If they do an act of evil, they fear being punished, but hope in being forgiven by the grace of Allah.
Right. So therefore, a person, whether a person is doing something that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, or even if they have disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, both of those should come with what? Fear and hope. So when they disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, they're fearing what? They're fearing the consequences of that sin in this life and in the next life. And they're hoping for the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah.
Between fear and hope, they fluctuate. To them, they constantly turn to seek shelter, and from them, the affairs of their journey alternate. Indeed, they are the ones who succeed with flying colors. They are the ones who are victorious.
Nah. Ulaika hum al-muflihun. Nah. So here, we're going to break that down, inshallah ta'ala, and kind of go through each station by itself so that we can conceptualize and hopefully put this into practice before them in Allah Azza wa Jal. So the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, to conceptualize it, all right, the scope of it is the heart's flight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart's flight to Allah Azza wa Jal, driven by panic and dread, right? So this is the definition of fear. فِرَارُ الْقَلْبِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَزَعًا وَذُعْرًا فَزَعًا وَذُعْرًا. طيب, what's the difference between panic and dread? So I want you to notice something here. Fear is not just, you know, I'm scared. Right? Oh, fear, as you can see, what's happening? The heart is actually moving. There's a feeling that actually arises here, right? The heart's flight towards Allah. Who is the heart afraid of? What's the heart afraid of? Where's the fear? The fear of what? Fear of Allah. And yet, the flight of the heart is? It's to Allah, right? And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the only one that when you are afraid of, you run to Him. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, right? الْفِرَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Everything else that you're afraid of, you run away from. Allah Azza wa Jalla, you run to Him. Driven by panic and dread. The motivating factor here that's pushing the person's heart towards Allah Azza wa Jalla is panic. Panic is in the beginning, right? Dread is the end game of fear. Person is absolutely terrified. Panic is more like person has a panic attack. They like, right? Think about it though. The panic attack is a real thing. It's a real thing. It has physical consequences, right? And so fear should have physical manifestations, all right, which we'll talk about in the next time. Yeah.
Reaching the station, being mindful of one's shortcomings and fulfilling his duties.
Type. So how do we get to fear? How does a person reach this station? Number one is to be mindful of shortcomings and fulfilling Allah Azza wa Jalla's duties. And this here, quite frankly, many of us just don't do enough unless it's blatant and in your face, right? And as a matter of fact, a lot of fear is only when somebody does something that is blatantly haram. It's not even when they're leaving off what they're not supposed to do, right? It's not even, because that's not even part of how we do our own checks and balances and our own muhasabah and looking at the wrong that we do. So this is why Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he talks about this issue of Allah Azza wa Jalla's rights, right? SubhanAllah. He says many of the people are blind to the actions of the heart that are wajib. They don't even look at it. Like, he said, loving Allah Azza wa Jalla and loving His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love anything else. That's wajib. It is wajib to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than we love anybody else or anything else. But is that really the case? I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, what's the reaction? What's the reaction when somebody insults the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam versus when somebody insults your mom or your child? Right? Is there a disparity in reaction? Meaning, I'm angrier when somebody says something about my mother or my child or my wife than I am if I hear them say something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? The love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which requires, right, that we comply with his teachings and his commands and to learn more. But there's a lack of active learning about his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about his seerah, about who he was, about his life. When you actually love somebody, yani subhanAllah, you don't even have to love them. There are people who, like, they like certain whatever. They're American idols, right? They're sports stars and all this, and they like to read stuff about them. I want to find out more. Headline about them, they want to know more. What about knowing more about the Prophet? This is, again, this is from the actions of the heart that have physical realities attached to it. So the point is, how do you get to that station of fear? When you really start thinking about it, we got a lot to be afraid of. Because there's a lot that we're not doing that we should be doing. And maybe there are things that we should not be doing that we are doing. Wallahu musta'an. Now.
Pondering over Allah's names and majesty.
Names of majesty. So, Asma'ul Jalal, right? As the author mentioned. Really learning about those names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, right? Al-Muntaqim. Learning those names of Allah Azza wa Jalla and pondering over them. How does that impact my life? Yeah.
Believing in the divine warnings and their consequences.
Yeah, and so this here is very important. And that is that a person has firm faith in the threats that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and on the tongue of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Those threats, whoever does ABC, then the consequences are XYZ. Reading the ayat that describe Jahannam, they should scare a person. In English, they say scare straight, right? You should be scared to the point that it straightens you up, like puts you on the sirat and mustaqim. And that is the point, yani. And also, yani, reading those ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies the danger of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, much of which can be found in the literature in Targhib and Tarhib. So one of the most famous works on that is by Ibn al-Mundhir, rahimahullah ta'ala, At-Targhib wa Tarhib. So a bunch of, yani, a collection of ahadith that deal with the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who do good and for specific actions, and the threats for those who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for specific acts of disobedience. Yeah. Huh? Al-Mundiri. Nah. Jazakallah khair. Al-Targhib wa Tarhib lil-Mundiri, not Ibn al-Mundir.
Yeah. The desired outcome. To motivate the slave to fulfill his obligations and avoid prohibitions. Exceeding the limits, the limit may result in hopelessness and despair of Allah's mercy.
Tayyib, so where is a person trying to get to? What level of fear is a person actually trying to get to? It's that fear that motivates a person to fulfill his obligations, to fulfill his duties, and to avoid those things that Allah has prohibited. That is the desired fear. Once a person gets to that level, that they are fulfilling their obligations, right, and avoiding the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then some extra, which would prevent them from doing those things that are even makruh. But exceeding that limit, going beyond the limit in fear, may result and a person despairing from Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy, and that is from the major sins. To despair from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is from the major sins, and it results in further disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because once a person doesn't feel like they're going to be forgiven, and they feel like their destiny is hell, khalas. There's nothing stopping them from doing worse, as we know in the story of the 99 men. When he went, the person who killed 99 men, and he went to the monk, and he asked him, like, is there any way that Allah can forgive you? He said, 99 people you killed? No, Allah's not going to forgive you. He said, khalas, he's number 100. For what? What is stopping him at that point? No. And as it relates to the station of fear, this is a hadith which should show us that even those who do good deeds should fear, right? As the author mentioned, right? The author actually pointed this out, that those who do good deeds, they are still fearful that the deed will not be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they hope that it will be. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, she says, سَأَلْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. Those, she said, I asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this ayah. Those who give that which they give, and their hearts are wajila, yani full of fear. So Aisha says, أهم الذين يشربون الخمر ويسرقون. Are they the ones who are drinking wine or alcohol and they steal? So they do some good things, but then they're doing all these other bad things on the side. Is that what this ayah is talking about? And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا يبنت صديق ولكنهم الذين يصومون ويصلون ويتصدقون وهم يخافون ألا تقبل منهم. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, O bint Siddiq, daughter of Siddiq, Abu Bakr. They're the ones, they perform the salah, and they fast, and they give charity. So they fast, they pray, and they give charity, but they are fearful that it will not be accepted from them. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. They are the ones who hasten to do good deeds, and they are at the forefront. They are the foremost. This hadith is collected by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and it's sahih. So in this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us tafsir of the Quran. They are the ones who are fearful. Their hearts are full of fear. Even though they're doing what? Giving charity. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that these ones, they're afraid that it won't be accepted from them. And this is why they are hastening to do good deeds. Because maybe that one wasn't accepted, but inshallah this one will be. And so they hasten to do good deeds. And that is what puts them at the forefront. So what is it that, and I want us to note here, this station here, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, this is the propeller. This is what put them at the front of the rest of the people. It's that fear. The fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fear that the good that they are going to do is not going to be accepted. So that's what's pushing them. And fear is a tremendous motivator. And it's important that we don't always just focus on hope. And that we also look at fear. It is. We live now amongst a generation who grew up, many whom only heard fear in their household. Don't do that because you're going to hell if you do. Right? Taqillah all the time. Like nothing that made them actually love Allah Azza wa Jalla, hope in His mercy when they've done wrong. And as a result, that generation has come with the equal and opposite reaction. And so there's a lot of loving Allah and hoping in Him and almost nothing about fear. Because if they talk about fear, they're so scared that they're going to be talking to a people already traumatized. Right? And that's going to run them away from the deen. The deen is balanced. Sure, sometimes the medicine requires a little bit more talking about fear. And sometimes a little bit more talking about hope. But in general, you got to balance those as best as possible. And yes, again, balance doesn't mean it's going to be the same quantity all the time. But hope, 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 to the point that people don't have any fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's not healthy. It's not healthy. Though this has become the popular dawah, sometimes in some communities, right? And then you still have those that only talk about fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla as if, subhanAllah, as if Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't introduce himself to the creation with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim again. Right? Then Maliki Yawm al-Din. So Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy for sure, overcomes his anger, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said about himself. But there has to be that balance. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, in commenting on that ayah, he said, by Allah, by Allah, they obeyed him and they strove hard in it, in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, yet they feared it might be rejected. They feared that their sadaqah might be rejected. A believer combines righteousness with fear. So a believer combines between taqwa wal khawf, right? And the hypocrite combines evil with impunity. This is a hypocrite. Evil, and he thinks he's going to be okay. Now I'm good, right? Shaitan, and he still thinks it's all right. Allah musta'an. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, in talking about the building of the Kaaba, when he tells us about the story of Ibrahim and Ismail building the Kaaba, he says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ فَضَلْ.
It mentioned when Ibrahim was raising the foundation of the house, and with him Ismail, saying, Oh, our Lord, except this from us, indeed you are the hearing, the knowing.
So Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, he narrates on Wahib ibn al-Ward, أنه قرأ وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا. So this ayah was after Wahib ibn al-Ward, rahimahullah, read it. He started crying and he said, Ya Khalil al-Rahman. He said, Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman, ترفع قوائم بيت الرحمن وأنت مشفق ألا يتقبل منك. You are doing what? You're building the Kaaba, the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Bayt al-Rahman, with the command of al-Rahman. It's not like you just went and made up something you wanted to do. Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded you to do this, and you're doing it. You're fulfilling that command. And you're still scared that it's not going to be accepted from you? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا وَأَنْتَ مُشْرِكُونَ لَا يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنْكَ. You're scared. So if Ibrahim alayhi salam is worried that his building of the Kaaba, him building the Kaaba, might not be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ يَأْمَنْ بَعْدِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Who is it that feels safe after Ibrahim alayhi salam? Even though that was related to a different ayah. But the point is, who is it that can feel just so confident that their actions are going to be accepted? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Right? So may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept. طيب. On that note, and not to digress too much from the topic, but because it relates to something that we've already covered from last week. Here we have Ibrahim at the end of doing a great act of ibadah. He says what? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. طيب. بعد الصلاة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Brother says, تقبل الله منك. تقبل الله. طيب. طيب, what you think about that? That's okay? Is that okay? تقبل الله. Not if it's what? Not if it's a continuous practice.
He's setting a specific time for only
after Salah. So right after Salah, تقبل الله. Yalla. Sticks out his hand. Sayyid. You say, Akhi, that's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, La, I read the Quran. I was reading it just before Salah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said what? After building the Kaaba, he's doing this great act of worship. We just finished a great act of worship of Salah. ربنا تقبل منا. And I'm just saying تقبل الله, it's just a dua. يا أخي, what's the problem? What's the problem? Huh? You're leaving the sunnah? Hey, he's just telling you it's the sunnah. It's the sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal told the Prophet ittabi' millata Ibrahim. He told the Prophet to follow the way of Ibrahim. That's the way of Ibrahim. Ah, okay. So the Prophet... wait, are y'all actually confused? Tayyip. All right, I'm looking forward to like a little bit more activity here. Tayyip, so what happened? So you said what? The Prophet sallallahu Prophet didn't do it. The Sahaba didn't do it. Khair. Khair, khair. I mean, but it's in the Quran. Yeah. So Ibrahim used to pray 5 times a day.
His time,
Allahu alam, right? Khair. Huh?
Well, what about the context, though? Because you said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, follow Ibrahim.
Mm.
But is that following him?
Is that following him in the worship of Allah alone only, or is it like specific acts of ibadah? In any event, we don't have any specific act of ibadah. I mean, other than building the Kaaba here. So the answer is pretty simple along those lines, which is we have the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam who prayed a minimum, and I'm saying a minimum amount of times, like 18,000. I'm saying daily salat, something around like that, right? And then the Sahaba, Allahu A'lam, right? But let's just take it from the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did they say he used to say after Salat? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And then there's a whole routine of things that they've narrated that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said after Salat. And nothing at all about taqabbal Allah. Interesting. Tayyib, the Sahaba... I mean, we have books that bring all of their athar. Nothing at all about taqabbal Allah. Other than what? On the Eid. And that's not after that's just when they would meet each other on the day of the Eid. Taqabbal Allah min aminkum, right? That's what we have. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is, it seems as though it was something special that they would do on the Eid, which is why they highlighted that this is something that they would say to each other. Otherwise, if it was just like normal practice, oftentimes normal practices are omitted because it's normal, right? So here what we have is that this just wasn't done. It wasn't their normal practice that after the Salat, they were engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as was mentioned before, that in general, every time a person introduces something that was not done during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taking the place of something that was done. So the bid'ah is replacing sunnah. And this is why it's confusing to people, though, because it just seems like something that's harmless. There's nothing. What's wrong with saying taqabbal Allah? What's wrong with that? It's not that something wrong with saying taqabbal Allah. It's something wrong with you leaving off the sunnah. It's something wrong with you introducing something that if it was better, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have taught us. And it's as if, even though a person is not saying this because they don't realize it, and they wouldn't. I mean, most of these people are not people that are trying to go against the sunnah. But if you're saying that you know better, what's better than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Like Quraysh said in the beginning about the Sahaba, لو كان خيرا ما سبقونا إليه. If it was better, right? They wouldn't have what? They wouldn't have beat us to it. These poor people, these whatever, low life, whatever. If it was better, if this Islam thing that Muhammad came with is better, then they wouldn't have beat us to it. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, in Ahl Sunnah, say the opposite of Quraysh, لو كان خيرا لسبقونا إليه. If it was better, they would have beat us to it. If it was better, they would have beat us to it. Wallahu a'lam.
Khashya, reverential fear.
This is from the this is from the Kalam of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. And I mentioned it here because just because there are often things that we confuse, like khashya and khawf. What's the difference? Khawf being fear. But we hear khashya, for example. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only the ulama who actually have khashya of Allah. So what's the difference between khashya and khawf? Father, read.
Khashya, reverential fear, is more specific than khawf. For it is specific to the true knowers of Allah. As Allah the Exalted has said, truly the ones who fear Allah from among His servants are only the knowers.
يعني العلماء. العلماء. Yeah.
Hence khashya is fear associated with the intimate knowledge of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, I am most mindful of Allah among you, and I am most fearful of Him.
أنا أتقاكم لله وأخشاكم له. وأخشى يعني from خشية. طيب, when did the Prophet ﷺ say that? The three men who came, which is another hadith, which is very important in terms of following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, even when something appears to be good, right? What happened when those men went to the house of the Prophet ﷺ and they كأنهم تقالوها, يعني it was almost like they didn't see the Prophet ﷺ doing as much as they had expected, for example. So one of them said what? I'm going to fast and never break my fast. It doesn't mean he's not going to break his fast at Maghrib, by the way. It doesn't mean he's never going to eat anything. It means he's going to fast every single day. And the other one said, well, I'm going to stand every single night, all night. And the other one said, I'm not even going to get married. But so I can just what? Focus on ibadah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And whoever doesn't desire my sunnah, then that person is not from me. Even though it seems like what? They're doing what? They're doing good. What's wrong with praying? Somebody gonna come. What's wrong with praying tonight? What's wrong with fasting every day? No. What's wrong with it is not the sunnah. That's what's wrong with it. And it's really that simple. You know, subhanAllah, because this is what people say. What's wrong? What's wrong with the maulid? We just doing something that the Prophet said something. We love the Prophet. Okay, khair. What's wrong with it is not the sunnah. That's what's wrong. Nah.
Khawf is movement.
This is deep, deep, deep. I hope you all pay attention to this right here. Seriously.
Khawf is movement, while khashiyah is withdrawal, stillness, and rest. For the one who sees a fierce enemy or a flood or something like that has two states. First, movement in order to flee from it. And this is the state of khawf. Second, his stillness and settling in a place safe from the danger. And this is khashiyah.
Think about it, right? Person is, first they flee and then they get to a point after that fear. They get to a point where they're taking shelter somewhere and they settle down. They're still scared, but they've settled. That's khashiyah. That is a next level in the fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla, because that is associated with the knowledge. Tayyip. Father.
Stations of hope, or the station of hope, conceptualizing the servant's expectation from his Lord to achieve the desired outcome, combined with exerting effort and having proper reliance on Allah.
So there is no hope. There is no hope without action. Hope without action is not even considered to be raja from an Islamic perspective. That's considered to be wishful thinking. A tamanni. There's a difference between al-raja and tamanni, which we're going to talk about. So hope has to have action. And this is by ijma' of the ulama, as Ibn al-Qayyim is going to mention, inshallah ta'ala. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, I mean, just to prove that point, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Those who have faith and those who perform hijrah and jihad for the sake of Allah, they are the ones. أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. They are the ones who what? Hope for, yarju, Allah's mercy. And Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. In other words, those who don't do any of those things, they don't actually hope for Allah's mercy. It's not real hope. Tayyip, reaching the station.
reaching the station, witnessing Allah's favors, past and present.
How does a person reach that state of hope? To realize that despite their flaws, their shortcomings, Allah still blessed them with so much. He still favored them, both in the past and currently right now. Despite our shortcomings, despite our disobedience, subhanAllah, that gives a person hope. Nah.
Remembering and having faith in Allah's promise.
And this is throughout the Quran, we find Allah's promise for those who believe and do righteous deeds, and we find the descriptions of Jannah and so forth. Pondering over that, remembering that and having faith in that really does give a person hope. Now,
pondering over Allah's names of beauty.
Right. So, Asma'ul Jamal. These are the names then of Allah Azza wa Jal that help to bring a person, like Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim and Al-Ghafoor and Al-Wadud, that bring that person that kind of hope. Now,
desired outcome. Filling the heart with good thoughts and optimism about Allah, which keeps fear from becoming despair.
Right. What is it that tempers fear? It's hope. What tempers the, as some of the ulama say, the heat of fear is cooled by hope. Right? So that a person's fear does not go over into the danger zone of despair. Right.
Exceeding the limit can lead to feeling secure from Allah's punishment.
So exceeding the limit of hope can lead one to feel secure from Allah's punishment, which is also from the major sins. It's a major sin to feel secure from Allah's punishment. Because a person at that point will not stay away from haram or fulfill Allah's obligations, because they've already been secured Jannah in their minds. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib. We're going to continue until 8 o'clock. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. It's almost 7:45. We'll continue till 8 o'clock. And then we will stop for the adhan and salat at that time. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Play fadal.
The difference between hope and wishful thinking is that the latter is categorized by laziness rather than by industriousness and struggle, while the former is accompanied by hard work in proper reliance upon Allah.
So here he's talking about the difference between raja, which is hope, right, and at-tamanni, which is wishful thinking. A raja has to have action, struggle, being industrious. And wishful thinking is a person who's just lazy, right? It's just a wish. Make a wish. Right? You don't got to do anything. Just make a wish. Fadal.
That is why scholars unanimously agree that hope is not valid without proper action.
Hope is not valid. Raja is not a thing. It doesn't exist without action. Yes. Without husn al-amal as well. Right? Nah. Shah al-Kirmani.
Shah al-Kirmani said, the evidence of the validity of hope is the excellence of obedience to Allah.
That is that one strives fi ta'atillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they strive to obey Allah. This shows that you actually have real hope, right? And that you obey Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yeah.
Hope is three kinds. Two are praiseworthy, while one is deceptive and blameworthy.
Pay attention, because these are things that oftentimes a person doesn't distinguish. Yeah.
The first two are that a man acts in obedience to Allah, guided by the light from Allah, hoping for the reward.
So that's the first, right? So this is a person who does what? A good deed, and they hope for reward. The second type of hope, that a man?
Or that a man commits a sin and follows it with repentance.
Which is a good deed, right? Nah.
And hopes for Allah's forgiveness, generosity, favor, and forbearance.
And this is husn al-dhan billah, and so there's a very close connection between ar-rajat, which is hope, and having good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jalla and being optimistic that He will forgive you. Yes.
The third blameworthy kind of hope is to wallow in sin and error and hope for Allah's mercy without works. Such is deception, wishful thinking, and false hope.
Alhamdulillah. Now, that being said, a person is to balance between fear and hope. And again, balance does not always mean an equal amount of this one or that one, right? The same way that if you had, you know, like one piece of steel and 100 pieces of cotton, that might be what balances it, right? But it doesn't mean that there's equal amounts. Doesn't always mean that they're equal amounts. And at some point in people's lives, there is a person should be err on the side of caution, if you will. That is, that they should give more to fear than they do to hope. And that's when a person is young, living their lives. Towards the end of a person's life, they want to get to the point where the hope is actually more than the fear. As the Prophet said, "La yamutanna ahadukum illa wa huwa yuhsinu dhanna bi rabbihi." And he let not one of you die, right, except that he has husnul dhann billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So as a person, and the Prophet said that 3 or 5 days before he died. So a person at that point, what good is them being in despair at that point of their lives, you know, when it's very difficult for them to do anything anyway? That's when you want that person to really have that hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am as my Lord and he perceives me to be. So you want that person towards the end of their life, especially, to have that husn dhan billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any event, Allah azza wa jalla throughout the Quran combines between these stations of fear and hope. And An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says that the majority of what you will find in the Quran is that balance and not one or the other. So Allah azza wa jalla says, "I'lamu anna Allah shadidul iqab wa anna Allah ghafur rahim." Know that Allah is severe in punishment, that Allah is forgiving and merciful. About this ayah, As-Si'di rahimahullah ta'ala said, this means that both understandings, fear and hope, should firmly reside in your hearts with absolute certainty, knowing that Allah is severe in both immediate and delayed punishment for those who disobey Him. Immediate and delayed punishment. Some people only think that the punishment is coming in the Qiyamah. Let just the person being distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more they disobey Him, they are going through it inside of themselves. They're struggling. They're hurting inside, even if you don't see them immediate retribution. And that He is forgiving and merciful to those who repent and obey Him. This knowledge shall cultivate in you both fear of His punishment, hope for His forgiveness and reward, leading you to act in a way that reflects both fear and hope. Likewise, from just to give an example of that combination of fear and hope, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Tajajafa junubuhum 'anil madaji', yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun." They abandon their beds, invoking their Lord with what? Hope and fear. They call on Him with hope and fear. Yad'una rabbahum. And at du'a, even in this ayah, even though I've translated here as invoking, du'a in the Quran a lot of times is both types of du'a. Du'a al-ibadah or du'a al-mas'ala. That is worship in its broad category. And sometimes, right, it's referring specifically to a du'a that is asking with the tongue. So, but here it's both, because they are tatajafa junubuhum 'anil madaji'. They are abandoning their beds. A jafat. You know what it means when it's jafat? Like between two friends? Like they used to be friends and then it's like jafat. What y'all say that? No, that is. That's a, it's like... jafat, right? But jafat is like... estranged. I like that. Yeah. So like, and the relationship is strained. Huh? You know, that's different from estranged. But still, this is like what Elijah is saying is the relationship between that person and their bed. It's like a strained relationship. Like, I love you, but yeah, this is, it's not good right now. Tatajafa junubuhum. Right? SubhanAllah. I mean, think about it. It's not just that they get out the bed. That's hard. You can't really capture that. They abandoned their beds, though. It's like, no, we're not on good terms right now. We're not on good terms. That's why I'm standing up to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yad'una rabbahum, worshiping Him, right, and with hope and fear. worshiping him and calling on him with hope and fear. Now, and from what we have provided for them, they spend. And notice here, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, he did not say, وَيُنْفِقُونَ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. He said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. So that you recognize that Allah is the one that gave it to you anyway. Like, don't think you're giving away something, oh, this is my hard-earned A, B, C, and D. Yeah, it is. You might have worked very hard for it. But Allah gave that to you. And so you spend of that. And not just as what is said in some of the tafsir, yani spending of charity. That's a type. But that spending from what Allah has given you is not just charity. Right? Meaning, some of this is obligatory spending. That's on your children, your family, your spouse. Building the institutions of Islam if you choose to be in this land. Right? These are obligatory spending to help support this deen when necessary. Right? Tayyip. The station of love. I'm actually going to read this because we got to go lightning round. Okay? Lightning round. We need to finish this today. طيب سيدي رحمة الله عليه says وهم الذين ملا الإله قلوبهم بوداده ومحبة الرحمن. Those whose hearts the divine has filled with devotion to him and love for the most merciful. This station, which is the station of Mahabba, is the bedrock of all stations. It is the foundation of all stations. From it spring every righteous action, all beneficial deeds, and all of the lofty stations that we're talking about. They spring forth from love. Love refers to the heart being attached to the beloved such that it needs this love and cannot do without it. Okay? And this is how the Sa'idi is defining love. The heart attached to the object of the love, the beloved, such that it needs it and cannot do without it. This requires that the lover withhold from all that the beloved detests and hasten towards all that the beloved is pleased with, doing so readily, willingly, and eagerly. Because that's what love is. It's not just that you do it, but you're eager to do it. SubhanAllah. And SubhanAllah, you see that, right? Love will drive a person to do something that's crazy. And it looks crazy from the outside. And they're loving it. And it's hard. It's like it's difficult, but they're loving it. Why? Because the one that they're doing for, they love them so much. Right? It's weird. Like, I mean, I don't mean it's weird like it's a bad thing, but SubhanAllah, you, if there's love there, you will find a person do something that is just like, wow, SubhanAllah, I couldn't have done that. But because they love the one that they're doing, I'm talking about just worldly love. I'm not talking about for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love somebody, you will put yourself through a lot of difficulty for them and like doing it. If he speaks for Allah. If he remains silent, he does so for Allah. So these are like requirements of that love. When you get to that level, person is speaking or not speaking for his sake. If he moves, it is for Allah. And if he remains still, it's for Allah. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, من أحب لله. Right? وأبغض لله. Whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ and he gives for Allah. وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ and he withholds for Allah. فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. This person has what? Completed his faith. Completed iman. This love then gives rise to a yearning and restlessness for Allah such that the lover never feels settled. Why doesn't he feel settled? Why doesn't he feel settled? Because he hasn't met Allah yet. No, because he's not with the one that he loves. And so because of that, his heart is not settled. Now, here it says, unless in his devotion, yani, when he feels that qurb min Allah azza wa jalla in that ibadah, when he feels near Allah azza wa jalla in ibadah, that will settle the heart. Other than that, he doesn't feel settled. Allah musta'an. So here, quickly we'll go through this to conceptualize it. It is, when we talk about love, it's the heart's attachment to Allah with continuous awareness to seek His pleasure. Continuous effort to seek His pleasure. requirements of love is that a person withholds from that which the beloved detests. That is required part of loving Allah Azza wa Jalla, is that you refrain from that which he detests, and that you hasten to do what the beloved is pleased with. Like, what is the desired outcome? As we talked about the desired outcome for hope, right? And that there's a limit. The desired outcome for fear, and that there's a limit. Person goes beyond that limit, it becomes problematic. Love is the foundation of all of them, of all of the stations. It does not have a limit. There's no such thing as a person loving Allah too much. Though there is something called hoping in Allah too much, or fearing Allah too much. There's a limit. Love, no. There's no such thing. It creates a restlessness and longing for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ used to make that dua. As'aluka, Allahumma inni as'aluka bard al-'ayshi ba'd al-maut wa ladhdhat an-nadhar ila wajhik wa shawqan ila liqa'ik. Allah, I ask you for the coolness of life after death. Bard al-'ayshi ba'd al-maut, yani a relaxing life after death. Wa the delight of seeing your face, and longing to meet you. Longing to meet you. Right? That is, the Prophet ﷺ is asking Allah to make his heart long to meet him. And there are other du'as, and we covered one in a lot of detail, which was the explanation of Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala to the du'a of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik. Allah, I ask you for your love and the love of those who love you, and the love of those actions which bring me closer to you. The author goes on to say, and we'll just finish these points bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. He goes on to say, if it is said, does love, which is the highest station, have any causes or means leading to it? And in other words, did Allah tell us how to love him, how to get that love, how to get to that station? He says, it is said in reply, Allah has not made anything that is sought after, except that he has also made causes and means by which it can be acquired. So there's nothing that Allah is encouraging us to do or commanding us to do, except that there's a way to do it, that he has clarified the means to it. Right? And so Allah is telling us to love him. Therefore, there has to be a way to get there. As the author, rahmatullah alayhi, says, and you can find the six on the side, the author says, from the greatest of these causes and means are withholding from any statement, action, or thought that will sever you from the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Any obstacle that comes between you and loving Allah Azza wa Jalla, then a person refrains from that. That's anything that severs you from that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyip. Next, he says, increasing in the remembrance of Allah with presence of heart. So not just that a person is mentioning Allah with their tongue, but that it is also coming from the heart. Third, reflecting upon his noble word. That is, contemplating the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. At-tadabbur. Tadabbur kitab Allah Azza wa Jalla. That a person isn't just reading for barakah. I want 10 hasanat for every letter I recite. Right, but that a person is actually contemplating what they are reading. And this draws a person closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, makes them love Allah. Acknowledging the tremendous bounties that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon the servant. Right. So when you actually think about all of the favors that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, how can you not love him? How can a person not? We are by fitrah majbool. It is built in us that the one who does good to us, that we love them. Alright? And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, there is none that has done for us what Allah Azza wa Jalla has done. And there is none that has done for us except that Allah Azza wa Jalla enabled them to do it for us in the first place. The fifth, standing before Allah Azza wa Jalla with presence of heart and due etiquette. Standing before him, yani in salah. And we talked about that for several, 15 classes or more. attending the gatherings of the lovers of Allah Azza wa Jalla, yani those whom you believe are pious and who love Allah Azza wa Jalla, to be in their company, because they are going to model for you behavior and speech that will get you closer to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very, very, very important point. Because subhanAllah, every one of us needs models. We need people to be able to model our behavior after, our speech after. So it's a very important point. And then he repeats his first point, which is in turning away from whatever will cut you off from any of this, meaning any of these things. So it is similar to the first point, but it's a little bit different, which is anything that's going to stop you from the dhikr of Allah, from reflecting on the Quran and so on and so forth, that a person stays away from any of those things. Whoever does this will attain the love of Allah, inshallah ta'ala, and it is his aid that is sought. And this is why I said, and then he goes into the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he mentions here that it is through that remembrance of Allah azza wa jalla that a person will gain his love. There's a bit more here that we'll cover inshallah ta'ala next week, and that is the tatimma, if you will, the completion of these six, so that we get to 10. And that is from the speech of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, who mentioned these six, but also he mentioned some others that get us to 10. He mentioned four or five, depending on how we interpret it. So we'll cover those next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as well as the importance of combining between the stations of love, fear, and hope, and recognizing them as the three foundations for all of the other actions of the heart. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.